The next case is 04-2108, Disciplinary Counsel versus Ajimu Kafali. Mr. Kafali.
Good morning, Your Honors. To get started with, simply would hope that this court would be more applicable to the evidence and facts presented and not find me in a negative light as a non-attorney and not being able to forward one for the court. Simply, this case, this case starts off initially some very important things that I was denied an opportunity to even present witnesses because those witnesses were members of the disciplinary council, subpoenas were suppressed and so forth, which were for the purpose of identifying that this action was being taken, what I believe was retaliatory and in the nature of harassment, because it occurred right after I filed a complaint against an attorney that they decided to move on this case. Be that as it may, there was absolutely no evidence to establish what the law says at Revised Code 4705.01 of a non-attorney commencing, conducting, defending an action and proceeding which the person is not a party concerned. And one thing the record would show is that Mr. Kafali was a party concerned in the case relative to this matter. The one important point that the evidence will show is that even though the opposing counsel tried to not put Judge Bruner's order in the record, was that Judge Bruner had actually issued an order allowing Divine Endeavors to file an answer after request for an extension. So the point being that if some actions occurred, they were a product of being led in the wrong direction by the actual judge, and once some more issues were brought out, those things did not occur.
Do you have an interest in Divine Endeavors?
I'm sorry?
Do you have an interest in Divine Endeavors?
Yes, I do.
What is that interest?
Well, the company is actually not even functioning at this time.
It's a limited liability company.
That's correct.
Are you a member?
Yes.
What percent?
Well, it's not even operating at this time.
Is this the only involvement you've had?
You mean file this type of
practice? Yes.
Oh, yes. That's what I was trying to point out in the beginning, that first of all, you know, be careful because I don't want to try to incriminate myself, you know, in terms of representing. But, you know, the judge had issued an order saying go ahead and proceed with the case on Divine Endeavors on the way when Divine Endeavors had requested an extension. It wasn't until later, which even the counsel of that time brought out after an answer or response to the complaint was filed, brought out issues about, you know, possible unauthorized practice of law. After that, you know, there was no other actions to occur. So there was no intentional acts taking place as might be inferred.
Has the foreclosure gone through in the federal?
This case is ancient. I mean, relative to which was the next point I was going to make. This is an entirely moot situation. Even when the case was filed, the case was not even pending.
But what I want to know is, was the property sold at the sheriff's sale?
Yeah, the property was foreclosed on, was sold, you know, the regular foreclosure process.
When was that?
This was years ago. I mean, it's got to be 3-4 years ago. I don't remember exact date, but...
So as a result of that, you've been involved in all of this since then?
Yeah, I was shocked to get it. I mean, this came way after, I mean, the case wasn't pending. This complaint was filed against me way after that case was resolved and the property was sold, which is, again, my mood issue because, you know, they're asking to enjoin me for something that there is not a case, number one. Two, there's no evidence of any probability of me engaging in what they're alleging in, and there simply is no case to stop anything from happening and no indication of me doing anything in the future, and they certainly haven't brought any charges of any other case. The last point I would want to make is that in the court's mandate for a restatement, the board suggested a $10,000 penalty. I don't know where that came from, and I certainly had no opportunity to oppose it or to understand the facts associated with it that would even suggest that if this court upholds the board, which I don't think it should, but if it upholds the board, that I should be charged a $10,000 penalty. There's no economic injury. There's nobody injured. If anybody was injured, you know, I didn't have the opportunity to represent in defending the foreclosure case because of the Judge Jackson, but that's a dead issue. And so I don't know where the $10,000 penalty, and I had no opportunity to oppose that. And I just think that there's insufficient evidence to show that Mr. Cafele prepared or did anything in the nature of unauthorized practice of law.
Thank you, Mr. Cafele. Ms. Costa.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is Carol Costa on behalf of Disciplinary Counsel. Respondent in this case is not an attorney licensed to practice law in Ohio. He filed numerous pleadings in the Court of Common Pleas in his capacity as a statutory agent when he was not a named party to the case. The best summary of respondent's actions is found in Exhibit 12, which is a decision from the trial court striking 7 of respondent's pleadings. 2 of those based on a motion to strike filed by the plaintiffs in the case on the basis respondent was not an attorney, and the other 5 were stricken sua sponte. Contrary to respondent's assertions, when the motions to strike were filed in September of 2002, he didn't stop filing pleadings. What he stopped doing was signing pleadings as Divine Endeavors LLC by Ajamu Cafele agent. He continued to file pleadings. He just signed them respectfully submitted Ajamu Cafele or respectfully submitted Ajamu Cafele defendant when he wasn't a defendant. He knew what he was doing. He ignored the rules. Respondent also fails to recognize that the burden of proof in this case is a preponderance. Is it more likely than not? Is it that scale tipped just a little bit more in one direction than the other? The answer here is yes. Starting on page 10 of the transcript, respondent indicated to the board that our office had been sending him letters since 2002. Attorney Jeffrey Colnes, who represented the plaintiff in the underlying foreclosure action, testified that he personally met respondent, the same individual who appeared at the board hearing and the same individual before you today, in a subsequent case. Attorney Colnes testified that the pleadings filed in the underlying foreclosure action here and in that subsequent case are of the same style, same tone, and he characterized them as non-traditional. And I would submit that even a cursory reading of the pleadings filed in the board case and the brief filed with the court demonstrate the same.
So, counsel, are we talking about one particular case or are we talking about many? That's unclear to me.
The complaint which we filed for unauthorized practice concerned the Bankers Trust v. Lewis case. That is the basis for the board finding that unauthorized practice occurred. Once that occurs, we go on to the second issue, which is whether or not a sanction should be imposed. And when you get to that stage, as GovBar Rule 7 provides, the board can consider any other relevant factor. We discovered at a very late date in the proceedings that respondent had been admonished in another case by the Court of Appeals for participating in the case when he was not a party and as a non-attorney.
Was it the same case?
No, Your Honor.
Different case.
That was a different case.
So what is the sanction that you're seeking this morning?
Well, we would like the court to uphold the board's recommendation as to a finding that UPL existed, that respondent be enjoined from the further commission of unauthorized practice of law, and that the penalty is appropriate in this case.
$10,000, is that right?
Yes. And when you look at the sequence of events, both in the case which formed the basis for our complaint and the appellate case upon which the board partially relied in reaching its recommendation for a sanction, you can clearly see that respondent doesn't appreciate or doesn't care that his actions contravene Ohio law. As I stated earlier, in September of 2002, he was put on notice through a pleading, through a motion to strike his pleadings because he was not an attorney. He continued to file pleadings. As stated by respondent on page 10 of the transcript, he was receiving letters from our office in 2002 that there was a problem. This is not a convoluted issue. If you are not an attorney,
He was advised that since he's a non-attorney, he could not file anything. He was advised by the court and your office.
Our investigation began in late 2002, Your Honor. In September of 2002 was when the plaintiff's motions to strike two of respondents' pleadings were filed with the court. In April of 2003, the trial court in the foreclosure action struck all seven of respondents' pleadings. Then, if you look at the Bank of New York...
Was he advised personally of this?
That I don't know, Your Honor.
What about your office? You mentioned your office advised him. How did you go about advising him?
We would have sent out our standard letter of inquiry saying we have received information that you may have engaged in the unauthorized practice of law. Here's the information we received. Please respond.
And what happened? How did he respond to that?
I don't have the exact phrase, but it's to the effect of I neither admit or deny anything. Allegations of harassment, et cetera. But then, after receiving the court's order in the foreclosure case in April of 2003, respondent goes on in the second case to file pleadings in the Court of Appeals. He's doing the same thing. He needs to be enjoined in order to further the purpose of GovBar Rule 7, which is to protect the public, to protect the courts, and to protect the profession. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Costa. Mr. Cafelli, you've saved a little more than 8 minutes of your time.
Your Honors.
What is your background, Mr. Cafelli?
Undergraduate Bowling Green, master's degree at Ohio State. Got involved in financial service and real estate, basically been an entrepreneur.
So you have knowledge that you have to be licensed to practice law?
Yeah, I understand that there's a bar proceeding and stuff like that, but I think that the information that is being presented here is totally screwed.
I'd like to have you respond to those statements.
First of all, she's presented in a broad basement, first trying to make the suggestion that the pleadings under Divine Endeavors and then pleadings under Ajumu Kefele are the same thing. They're not. They have left out strategic things. First of all, that there was a motion to intervene on Ajumu Kefele that superseded anything that would have had Ajumu Kefele's name under it. So the sense that all of a sudden there was no respect for, that there may have been some unauthorized practice of law, and to not try to plead respectfully my own rights in that case is not accurate. But
that motion granted? Were you allowed to intervene?
No, I was not.
Continued to then file.
No, that's not what happened. See, that's not what, that's not the timeline that's accurate. What happened was that the judge had issued a motion for an extension to file an answer. Divine Endeavors files an answer.
Wait a minute. You filed the answer for Divine Endeavors.
No, I'm not admitting to that at all. And they didn't produce any evidence of that.
Okay.
You know, but the facts on the record are, even if you wanted to go with that, but the facts on the record are that when the issue of the unauthorized practice law was presented by the attorney, there was no other pleading. There was a simultaneous pleading, I believe the same day or right around the same day, that he filed about the possibility of unauthorized practice of law. After that, there was a motion to intervene, and then the pleadings under Ajumma Kefele clearly identify Mr. Kefele's interest as holder of the note on that property. So the indication that they're trying to give is that you know, there was this disrespect and to keep engaging in unauthorized practice of law. The judge did not issue until way down the road this decision striking all the pleadings. So there was a multitude of pleadings taking place after the motion to intervene under Ajumma Kefele, not under Divine Endeavors. So there was no continuous. And then a very important point must be made that the board said that these issues about other cases that they claim was an admonishment, okay? These issues about other cases, the board would not allow any testimony or issues related to those cases. And therefore, I had no opportunity to defend that. And they're trying to use that as a basis to suggest that I was engaging in some continuing activity. And the fact is, they don't know anything about those cases, the properties, and anything like that to even insinuate that I was engaging in unauthorized practice of law. And I challenged them to bring any case because I wasn't. I had a clear and direct interest in those properties that were the subject of those other cases.
Were you a party to those other cases? Were you a named party?
I wasn't a named party, no.
And did the appellate court admonish you not to engage in another unauthorized practice of law in that case?
Your Honor, what the court actually said was that there may be a question, okay? There may be a question because I had filed a notice of appeal, not in the trial court. This was not even a trial court issue. I had filed a notice of appeal, put my name on there on a notice of appeal with the other party who had their name on there. I did not do anything independently. I was not trying to represent anybody, other person or anything like that. I had an interest in these properties for years.
Now you say you had an interest. Did you own them?
According to the law, which this court refused to review when we submitted to this court, according to the law, this case, that a partnership interest does not require you to be deed owner of property. I mean, you don't have to have your name on the deed. There's limited liability companies, there's trust and so forth like that to determine a person has an interest in the property. I nurtured and took care of these properties and so forth as part of Ms. Barclay, who they're referring to. We've been together for years. We have two children. So this claim of absolutely no interest in the properties just because my name is on the deed is not an accurate assessment. But the point is, the most important point is that was not the nature of this unauthorized practice of lawsuit. It was not part of this, and nor did the board allow any discussion relative to it to determine if there was even any indication of the rights price law. And so they want this court to believe that there was some continual activity, some continual disrespect to continue to engage in unauthorized practice of law. And that is simply not the case. That is simply not what happened.
Your view is that because you had an interest, either a partnership interest or a limited liability membership interest in the real estate, you had the right to present the defense or the claims on behalf of those entities. Is that your position?
You're talking about this Bankers Trust case?
Well, that's the one we had before.
Yeah, that's not. That's not at all.
That's not it.
That's not at all. The timeline of what happened was Divine Endeavors filed a pleading for a motion for extension. Okay.
Go ahead, Justice Ressler.
I was just going to ask, did you have any interest in Divine Endeavors?
Yes, I had an interest in Divine Endeavors, okay. But I can't sit up here and say that I did, that I filed the pleading or I prepared it or anything like that.
Because, we're not asking you that. I just right. want to know if you had an interest.
Right. But what I'm trying to point out, the timeline is that there was that extension. The judge issued an order that said Divine Endeavors had an extension. This is an order that had Ajumma Kefele's name underneath it. Issued an order that said there's an extension. You could file an answer. It wasn't the attorneys of the record knew all of that beforehand. It wasn't until the answer that they didn't like was filed that all of a sudden, oh, Mr. Covey, he may be engaged in unauthorized practice law. Okay, if that's the case, then...
Are you saying the judge knew you were not an attorney and then gave you permission to go ahead and file an answer?
I'm not saying it like that, but that's what happened. I'm saying that Divine, you know, I never presented myself as an attorney.
You just signed the pleadings.
I'm not saying I signed anything, but I'm saying...
All right, you came to the attention of the court.
I came to the attention of the court because the attorney filed a complaint after he filed...
And saw your name on a piece of paper,
and saw my
whoever
name
put it there.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Capel, let me see. Maybe there's a little procedural problem here. You had an opportunity before the board, Commissioners on Unauthorized Practice of Law, to respond to the allegations of and the evidence presented by the relator. You chose not to respond. You took the Fifth Amendment and did not respond. Now you're giving us all these facts that should have been presented to the board. The board is the fact-finding body for unauthorized practice of law cases. You missed your opportunity. You chose not to do that, it appears to me, from the board's report.
We can't sort out all these facts here.
Pardon?
I would respectfully disagree with you. I did not... in order for me to rebut the opposing counsel doesn't require for me to engage in self-incrimination.
Well, is the board incorrect then in advising us respondent refused to answer any questions and asserted his Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination? Now, is that wrong or is that not wrong?
Yeah, but that's in a box.
The box was the hearing before the board.
I mean, they're asking me.
To say you're
wrong. I'm being charged to engage in something illegal, and they asked me, well, did you do it? You know, I have a right to plead the Fifth. The question that I'm asking the court is the fact that there was no evidence that I did anything. There's nothing. There's no evidence that I prepared those pleadings. There's no evidence that I wrote them. There's nothing. And the facts broken down don't say that.
But aren't they signed by you?
You mean is my name on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my name is on there, Ajumu Kefele. I don't deny that that's my name.
And
but
you
that
had
doesn't
the
mean that
to,
I prepared
you had the
it. That doesn't mean that I did it.
You had the opportunity at the board to say, Board, that's not my signature. Someone signed that for me.
I had the right to plead the Fifth, and
sure
just
did,
like,
but that's the consequence. You take the consequences from
the consequences
pleading
say,
the Fifth.
The consequences say don't
they
hold
no
me.
Record.
The consequences say don't hold me accountable for pleading the Fifth. If this court wants to do the same thing, do that. The fact is that the unauthorized practice of law, as alleged in this case, is not an ongoing activity. Was not an ongoing activity. There are certain factual things that happen with pleadings that they don't want to do. But you know, if the politics and nature say it, not. Attorney can't prevail over the prosecution, and that's what it'll be.
Thank you, Mr. Capelli. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.